Amen. All right. Galatians chapter number 5, verses 16 through verse number 21 tonight. You know, we've been having Sunday school, and we praise the Lord for that. But I was hearing before we had to cancel all of our Sunday school classes, Miss Nan's class was dismissing one time, and Miss Nan's told her class, she said, "Now, y'all listen, now when we go out into the service, you make sure you be quiet now." And she said, "Now, do you know why we have to be quiet?" And Brother Rick piped up and said, "Because there's people sleeping out there. That's why we need to be quiet. So I hope you're not sleeping tonight." I don't know if that happened or not, but it didn't. Okay. But anyway, so Galatians chapter number 5 is where we'll be tonight. Now, I got to get y'all a little bit more on your feet than you are right now, okay? So let's get going. Let's laugh a little bit. Let's get into the Word of God tonight. I pray that it would encourage us. Now, I did tell you on Wednesday, remember, on Sunday, every lame joke, the Apostle Peter is involved in it, right? And I'm about to tell you another one that the Apostle Peter is involved in. There's a man who just died and he went to heaven, and of course Peter is standing there at the gate. Peter asked the man, he said, "What is the dumbest thing you ever did while you were on earth?" And he thought, he said, "You know, I would have to say the dumbest thing I did was I found a group called the Hell's Angels, and I went to their motorcycles and I kicked every single one of them down." He said, "That's about the dumbest thing I've ever did." Peter said, "When did that happen?" The man looked down at his watch. He said, "Well, about 5 minutes ago." Don't know they killed him anyway. We'll get there. All right, Galatians 5. No more jokes. I'll go to preaching. I missed my calling, didn't I? No. All right, verse 16. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like." Now what we're going to do tonight is we're going to take all 17 of those and take 30 minutes on each one and expound upon them. So I hope y'all ready. But anyway, look what it says. "Of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." And that's where we'll stop tonight. Now, y'all make sure y'all give me a good amen on this statement. If you believe this, the Christian life is a hard thing to do. Amen. The Christian life can be a very hard thing to do. But I find an encouragement tonight in our Bible, and it is that we have a God who understands the Christian life is a hard thing to do. God does not expect us to be perfect. God does not expect us to have everything in order. God does not expect us to be mature when we're still growing in maturity. He knows that that is a process that is a day-by-day, ever-growing process. And I'm thankful that our God remembers that sometimes we fall and sometimes we do fail. And our God realizes that the life in which you and I are living right now is something called a battle. It is a battle, for His Word never told us that our life is going to be a walk in the park, did He? But you know, every time the Apostle Paul very often referred to the Christian life, he used this word. It's a fight. That's what he said, didn't he? Remember at the end of his life, I can just see the Apostle Paul at the end of his life, war slap out, sitting in a prison, can barely see, can barely move, and he writes these words, "I have fought a good fight." It's like a boxer at the end of his fight. I mean, even though he won the fight, he's wore out and he can barely move. That's the Apostle Paul. He said, "I look back and man, I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I'm going to heaven, but my soul, that was a fight." He told Timothy, he said, "Fight the good fight of faith." And I'm thankful he put that word good fight in there. It's not a bad fight to be in. It's a good fight to be in, the Christian life. But we know the Christian life is a battle. And what makes the Christian life a battle, what makes any battle a battle, is you've got opposing sides working against each other. And what makes the Christian life such a battle is you have got so many things working against us, don't we? The devil. How many of you are tired of the devil? Amen. The devil is working against us. The devil does not like us. The devil hates us. And the devil never leaves us alone, does he? We have opposition in the enemy and Satan and all of his demons. But we also have the opposition of the world. The world does not like us. And I don't know if you've figured that out yet, but it's beginning to come to America a whole lot more than it has the past 50 years. The world is trying to get the church out of America. They hate the church. And you know what I don't like is when Christians are amazed by that. We ought not be amazed that the world does not like us. We ought to be glad the world does not like us. That means we're doing something right. If the world likes us, shame on us. They shouldn't. The world hates us, and we shouldn't be surprised by that. We fight the devil. We fight the world. David said, "Many are they increased that trouble me." Not just one. Many are they increased that trouble me. But let me tell you this tonight. I'm convinced tonight the greatest fight that you and I have is not with the devil. The greatest fight that you and I have is not with the world. The greatest fight you and I have is with ourselves. Amen. That's the greatest fight nearly every single one of us have every day. Or as Paul calls it this, Brother Ronnie, the flesh versus the spirit. That is the battle in which you and I are involved in, and it is a very heated battle. Verse 17, I want you to look at it. Here's the battle. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Listen to this. The flesh delights to do bad. The spirit delights to do good. The flesh is pulling left. The spirit is pulling right. Therefore, this verse 17 is basically describing to us that the Christian life is a battlefield. It is a battlefield. Can I tell you, that's why it's not easy to live for God. That's not why it's not easy to do right. That's why it's not easy to think right. And that's why it's not easy to live the way He wants us to live, because we have an opposition called the flesh. Now, to help us understand this battle, I do want you to go back a little bit to Romans chapter number 7. Romans chapter number 7, a few pages to your left in your Bible, because he is describing, the Apostle Paul here, probably the greatest illustration of the spirit versus the flesh. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't like to hear that other people are struggling. But there's a small part of me that likes to hear other people are struggling, because it shows me it's not just me, Brother Jerry. Right? And you see, in Romans chapter number 7, you're about to find out that the Apostle Paul even struggled. He even struggled in this battle of the flesh versus the spirit. And I'll be honest with you, this is always greatly encouraging to me. Romans 7 verse number 15. For that which I do, I allow not. But listen to this. For what I would, or what I want to do, that I don't do. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there's that word, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. In other words, he wants to do good, but for some reason he finds himself doing bad. Verse 19. For the good that I want to do, I do not. But the evil that I do not want to do, that I do. What a battle. Did you hear what the Apostle Paul just said? He said, I have this desire in me once I got saved. I want to do good. But when I come to the end of the day, I find myself, for some reason, I just didn't do it. He said, I also have this desire in me. I don't want to do evil. I don't want to do bad. But guess what? I find myself doing that very thing that I don't want to do. Does that describe anybody in here tonight? Go ahead and raise your hand. Amen. The good that I want to do, sometimes I just don't do it. But man, the bad that I think, man, that's disgusting, I don't want to do that, find yourself doing it, don't you? That is a perfect illustration of the flesh versus the Spirit. And let me say this, if the Apostle Paul, whom in my opinion is the greatest New Testament Christian, struggled with his flesh, how much you think you and I are going to struggle with ours? And to be honest with you, that's encouraging me tonight that someone else, the Apostle Paul, as a matter of fact, is struggling. Stay there, look at verse 24. I want you to look at the conclusion he came to about himself. This is unreal. Paul is born again. Paul is walking with the Lord. Paul is inspired by God, and Paul says this about himself. Oh, wretched man that I am. That does not say I used to be. He said, the wretched man that I am. That's the conclusion he came to about himself. Notice he doesn't say, I've learned to love myself. Go on Facebook. Remember we talked about that last week. You're going to find all of these girls saying, you know what, I'm just going to learn to love myself. That is so against the Bible, it is unreal. I love my self-image. Doesn't matter if anybody says anything about me or not. Paul didn't say, I've grown to realize I'm a good person. He said, I've grown to realize I'm a bad person. See, the closer we get to the Lord, the more we're going to realize we're not that good at all. And that's just the natural inclination of all of us. But we also all have the natural inclination to think we're pretty good too. Think we're pretty good. But Paul said, listen, I didn't used to be a wretched man. He said, I still am. I still am. You know, if all of us knew us, if all of you knew me the way I know me, there wasn't one person being here tonight, Brother Danny. You would not want to listen to Justin preach one sermon if you knew me the way I knew me. And if I knew you the way you knew you, you'd probably be ashamed of being here tonight, wouldn't you? We all would. But I'm thankful that even though God knows everything about us, He's a God who loves us despite us. And He's a God who gives grace. You know, the flesh is a very tough opponent that all of us battle every single day. Now, you can stay there in Romans 7 and 8. Now, listen to this. Although the flesh is a great opponent, 1 John says, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And of course, that's referring to the devil, but it also means our flesh, he that is in us, is greater. But in order to understand how to overcome the flesh, we've got to understand really the flesh. So the number one thing I want you to see tonight is the problem with the flesh in Galatians 5:17. We've already read it. But it says this, the flesh is against the Spirit. Now that's a problem. Something is against something, that means there's opposition, that means there's struggle. Now, in order to understand how to conquer the flesh, we've got to know what it is. Now, the flesh is this. Very simple. The flesh is very simply the fallen sin nature that all of us have. When Adam sinned in the garden, every single one of his descendants after him inherited that thing called a sin nature. And because we are all descendants of Adam and not a monkey, we all have a sin nature. We all have a sin nature, and that's what the flesh is. It is our sin nature. And the reason you see all the chaos and confusion on the news every time you turn it on is not because there's a race problem. It's not because there's a political problem. We know it's because there's a sin problem. That's what it boils down to. We all have a sin nature, and a synonym for that is the flesh. Listen to this. The flesh is that which desires to get angry and lash out at other people. The flesh is that which has immoral thoughts that stick around. The flesh is that which desires really to do evil. The flesh is that which only cares about me, myself, and I. And the flesh is that which actually likes to sin. He doesn't hate sin. He loves sin. He craves sin. He hungers for sin. And man, he loves sin. Romans 7:25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He said, my flesh doesn't serve God, It serves sin. The flesh loves sin, craves it, wants it. Romans 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded, fleshly minded, is death. The carnal mind is enmity against God. In other words, those fleshly thoughts that we have are against God. They're not neutral thoughts. They're thoughts that are against God. Verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. They that are in the flesh are against God. They that are in the flesh have no chance to please God in anything that they do. Listen, that's mankind. That is all of us. That all of us have a flesh, and that is us. Flesh can't please God. Flesh doesn't like God. Flesh likes sin. And that is us. Now that's also different than what the world teaches you today. Mankind is not good. Mankind is inherently bad. We all have this sin nature that is against God. That's all of us before salvation. You can call it the flesh. You can call it the sin nature. I'm going to give you one more synonym for it. You can call it the natural man. The natural man. And Miss Nan, you're going to like this picture. That right there is our natural man. We're going to use that as an illustration tonight, is our natural man. And you'll get it as we go along why I use that illustration. Miss Nan's laughing. She always laughs at my pictures that I choose. That is the natural man, our flesh. That is the sin nature in all of us. But I want you to listen to this, and this is good news. When we got saved, something changed, didn't it? When we got saved, something changed in us. What was that? God put a brand new nature in us, didn't He? Listen to this. John chapter 3, verse 6. And man, this is vitally important. This is probably the most important point tonight. John 3, verse 6. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus about being born again. Jesus says, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Very obvious. What He's saying is when we are born as flesh and we're given a sin nature. All of us are. But Jesus says when you're born again, when you get saved, we are born by the Spirit and given a brand new spiritual nature that is a God nature. Alright? So when you're born, you get a sin nature. When you're born again, you get a brand new God nature. You say, I have God's nature living on the inside of me? That's exactly right. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3 says this, if I can find it. 2 Peter 3, 1, verse 3. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. When you get saved, we inherit the nature of God. Now, that means this. Paul calls this person a spiritual man. Spiritual man. So we all have this natural man called the flesh, but when we get saved, Miss Nan, we get a spiritual man. The flesh and the spirit. So we've been given a brand new nature, Brother Danny. A brand new nature. Now, let me ask you this question. How many of you, after you got saved, still have a problem with your flesh? Yeah. We still have a problem with your flesh. And I tell you this. A lot of people down throughout church history has gotten this wrong. And they said this. When we got saved, that means the flesh was replaced. The flesh was replaced, and because of this, our flesh has been replaced, and we've been given a spiritual man, a God nature. You know what that means? We ought to live sinless lives. We can live sinless lives because our flesh has been replaced, and we've been given a spiritual man. You know Charles Stanley was taught that growing up? Charles Stanley was taught he could reach sinless perfection down here on earth. The Wesleyan church, I don't know if they believe that anymore, but that's how they started. John Wesley believed that. He believed you could reach sinless perfection in this life. You want to know why? Because when you got saved, your spiritual man replaced your natural man. And let me teach you this tonight. Because a lot of us may believe that. I believe that a little bit growing up. But let me say this. When we got saved, God did put a brand new nature in us. A new person that is called the spiritual man. But here's the point. It didn't replace our old man. It did not replace our old nature, but rather this new man is a brand new separate nature, all right? So now, whereas when we're unsaved, before we got saved, we only had one nature, a sin nature. Now that we've got saved and born again, guess what? There's not just one nature anymore, there's two natures. There are two natures, the sin nature and the God nature, all right? So it looks like this. That's the battle going on within us. There is still a sin nature there. That man's still here. But there's a brand new strong man in here too. A spiritual man called the Spirit. Harry Ironside, I don't know if anybody's ever heard of them. He pastored Moody Chapel in Chicago many years ago. Listen to what he said. He said, the new birth does not imply the elimination of our old nature. Neither does it apply a change in our old nature, but rather the giving of an absolutely new nature born of the Spirit, and there are two natures side by side in the believer of Christ. You hear that? So when we got saved, that old man didn't get replaced, but hear this, he also didn't get changed. He didn't change. Now that changes my view on salvation, I'll be honest with you. Because I always thought this growing up when I got saved. All right? So many people, including me, viewed salvation of God taking me from what I used to be and making me a better person. God taking me from what I used to be and remodeling me into a better person. In other words, it's kind of like taking an old raggedy Ford pickup truck that ain't worth a flip, that needs a new paint job, that needs new tires, and you take it, you put new tires on it, you put a new paint job on it, and you remodel it. That's how I viewed salvation. God took me and remade me and remodeled me, but that's not what happened when I got saved. That's not what happened. You see, when we got saved, God does not remodel us. God does not make us better. That old raggedy flesh is still there. You know what He did? He just gave us a brand new person. Listen to what the Bible says. I'll make it real to you. 2 Corinthians 5:17, a verse we all ought to memorize. If any man be in Christ, he is a remodeled person. Is that what it says? If any man be in Christ, he's a whole lot better person now. If any man be in Christ, he is a... That's exactly right. You see that? Once you get saved, it's not God remodeling your flesh and making you better. Once you get saved, you're a whole separate person. See, that changed my whole view on salvation. Because I always thought God just made me a better person. But let me tell you something. God didn't touch that flesh over there. It's still there. Even though it's been crucified with Christ, it is still there. So think about this. The unbeliever who's never trusted in Christ, that's him. That is the only nature he has, is a sin nature. Do you know that's why we shouldn't really be mad when people who don't believe in Christ act out? Do you know what that's what they're supposed to do? When you see this all this rioting on the news, all this chaos and confusion, the reason they act like that is because they hadn't believed in Christ. And they're supposed to act like that. Unbelievers are supposed to act wicked. But get this. When you and I got saved, we get that. So now what's that? So now we have not only one nature, we've got two natures. A sin nature and a God nature. The unbeliever can only live in the flesh, but here's the kicker tonight. The believer can either walk in the flesh or walk in the Spirit. And see, that is the choice we have every morning we wake up. Which one are we going to operate in? The one that is against God or the one that loves God? The one that loves sin or the one that hates sin? Yeah, that is our choice. See, but that is the problem with the flesh. When we get saved, church, it's not gone. But I'm thankful for that glad day when Jesus comes back, the flesh is gone. Be gone. And we're going to get a brand new body where there's no sin nature in that one. But you see, that's what happened when we got saved. God gave us a brand new nature. And we can choose to walk in the flesh or in the Spirit. The next thing I want to show you tonight, not only the problem of the flesh, but the proof of the flesh. The proof of the flesh, and that's in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Now, me and Monica had to go to the doctor with Levi this morning. They found out a few days ago that he had just a little bitty heart murmur when they did his thing, but we went today and they did an MRI and an EKG on him, and they found out everything was normal. That's normal. They've said that it would probably go away within the next months or even a year or something like that. They said it's normal, so we praise the Lord for that. But anyway, I tell you that because he had a little MRI done and a little EKG done. When I go out, Monica can tell when I'm writing down sermon notes because I'll pull out my phone and I'll start typing out something. I'll be like, oh man, that's good. But anyway, listen to this. When you get an MRI or an EKG, anybody ever had that? Yeah, most of us have. MRI or EKG on your heart. The purpose of that test is to bring to light the true condition of your heart, right? It is to bring to light the true condition of your heart. If the results of the MRI are good, we praise the Lord. If the results of the MRI are bad, that's really a bad thing. But listen, it's also a good thing. It's also a good thing. Because if the doctor didn't see it, guess what? He can't fix it, can he? If you don't know what's wrong, can't fix it. I tell you that and tell you this. What the Apostle Paul does in verses 19 through 21 in Galatians 5, and if you're not there, you can go back there. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. What the Apostle Paul does is this. He takes an MRI machine and he puts it up to our lives. Our lives. And the purpose of these verses is to bring to light this question. Are you walking in the flesh or are you walking in the Spirit? And these verses are about to reveal that tonight. Verses 19 through 21. Paul says, if you walk in the flesh, this is what it's going to look like. Verse 22 and 23. If you walk in the Spirit, this is what it's going to look like. It's very simple. He makes it easy for us. He said, listen, you believers, you can choose whichever one you walk in on a day-to-day basis. You can walk in the flesh or you can walk in the Spirit, but here's what it looks like. Here's how you know which one you are walking in. So let's see how you and I are doing tonight. Let's give ourselves a little test of whether we're walking in the flesh or not. Let me give you an FYI. We probably are. We probably are. We'll find out a little bit tonight. But you know what? If we are and we find out that tonight, that's a good thing. Because that means we finally figured it out and we can ask God to fix it for us. Now listen, I just said Paul earlier, I said Paul has 17 characteristics. 17, I think he only lists 9 about the Spirit. He says if you're doing these 17 things, it means simply one thing, you just walked in the flesh. And he says this, 17 characteristics of what we do when we walk in the flesh. And they're divided up into 3 categories, and you can write them down if you're taking notes. The proof that we're walking in the flesh will be this. Verse 19, there'll be sexual sin, there'll be religious sin, and there will be relational sin. 17 of them. Now, I'm not going to comment on each one, but let's go through them real quick. Paul says if you're walking in the flesh, number one, there'll be sexual sin in your life. Verse 19, look at this. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. Now, adultery, we know from the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't just when a husband or a wife actually goes out and commits the act of adultery, right? Jesus said if a man lusts after a woman who is not his wife in his heart, he's already committed adultery, right? So if you even look and begin to think these thoughts about another man or another woman who is not your husband or your wife, there it is. Paul says you're walking in the flesh. The second one, fornication. What's interesting about that, the Greek word is porneia, where we get our English word pornography from. If Paul were writing today, he would obviously put that one in there because that is a big problem today, of course, in America. Uncleanness. Another word for sexual impurity. Lasciviousness, the King James Version uses. That's just another word for sexual excess, is basically what that is, going overboard with those sins. Now, a lot of those aren't very comfortable to talk about with a lot of people in church. And you can tell it hadn't been talked about because it's a big old problem in America right now, isn't it? I told you the three things that have taken over America in forms of sin, even. Some of them are sin. The bar, the ball game, and the bed. Those are the three things that have really taken over America. And when you put the ball game above God, that's when it becomes a sin. But that's exactly what Paul describes here. And if he says, you've got those four things in your life, listen, it's very simple. You just walk in the flesh. You're operating out of the flesh. And Christians do that. And we can shake our head and say, yeah, that's right, right there. Christians can commit sexual sin. All right? Verse 20. He said, not only sexual sin, religious sin. There's only two here in verse 20. Idolatry and then witchcraft. And I think some versions use the word sorcery. Is that right? Sorceries. Idolatry. First commandment. What does it say? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's idolatry. And that doesn't mean you go out there and worship the devil. Yes, that's idolatry. But it also means whatever you put above God and you worship, that's idolatry. Whatever we place above God in our life is idolatry. The second one is witchcraft, sorcery, the occult world, all these movies that they're coming out with today that I watched in high school that I didn't realize they were trying to get into our head. They're trying to get you to buy these boards and communicate with the demons and communicate with the dead. And when I was 16 years old, I thought it was funny. But when you find out that stuff is real, that you can communicate with a demon, that a demon can come on the inside of your house, it's not that funny anymore. And that's exactly what people are doing today. A man in my old church for 30 years was involved in demon worship until Jesus saved him. And now he's a missionary in Indonesia for the Lord Jesus Christ. Witchcraft. Let me use another word. Mediums. You ever see them shows? Mediums. Let me tell you something. That's against God. It is. It is against God. They may be able to call up the dead, but it's not a dead loved one. It's a demon. Exactly. Amen. All right. Now let's move on. We just listed six sins, okay? Let me name them. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, and witchcraft. Now I know what else a lot of us are saying today in the Baptist church. Man, we're doing pretty good. Right? We're not cheating on our husbands or our wife. Well, maybe we're not committing fornication. I'm certainly not involved in the occult world, this voodoo stuff. I feel like I'm doing pretty good today, Brother Danny. Now, hold on. We ain't done. It goes on. Relational sin. And let me tell you something. This is where it's going to get us baddest. And find out we're about to be walking in the flesh. You ready? Verse 20 through 21. Relational just means with one another. The next word after witchcraft is hatred. Hatred. Now that's a bad one to think we have, but a lot of us have hate in our heart for somebody. Whether we think so or not, there's hatred somewhere. Paul says that's not only a bad thing to harbor, it's a sin. The next one is variance. That means contentions, emulations, jealousy. And here's a good one. Wrath. You know what that means? Outburst of anger. Now, I know we all good on that. All right. We can move on. None of us ever had an outburst of anger at 3 a.m. when your little boy's crying. Is that right? Let me tell you something. Me and little woman got in the flesh the other night. Yeah, I'm glad God understands. But I woke up that next morning, I felt awful. I said, you know what, he's just a baby, he don't understand. And there I was acting in the flesh. And there was Monica trying to get me back in the spirit, and then she got in the flesh. And then it got both of us in the flesh, and we was about to just burn the house down. It was a rough night. Y'all pray for us tonight. We're getting in the flesh a lot lately in Lincoln. All right? Outburst of anger is really what that wrath means. The next one there is strife. Now, there ain't nobody in the Baptist church ever fought with one another, so we're good. We can move on. Seditions, heresies. We shouldn't have any heresies going on. As long as we preach good doctrine, we'll be all right with that. envyings, or jealousy? Now, that's a deep one right there, Miss Nan. That's a deep one, isn't it? Sometimes we have it, we don't even realize it. You want to know what I'm jealous of, Jimmy? Sometimes I'm jealous of other churches when they have 300 people, right? Sometimes I'm jealous, and that's just how it is. We get jealous in our lives. But that was my confession tonight. I'm not Catholic, but that's just how it was. Murders and drunkenness are the next one. Now, of course, I don't think anybody's in here murdered anybody. But Jesus says if you're angry with your brother, that's the same thing as murder. Anger leads to murder. That's what that is. And then drunkenness there, and then revelings is the last one in there. Now, I think that was 17, if my count is right. Somewhere in there, you and I just found out we walk in the flesh, don't we? We do. That's what happens in the Christian life. We walk in the flesh from time to time. But let me dispute this in verse 21, because this is something that people teach, and I don't want you to hear it and think you're going to hell. Verse 17, he names all these things, and he says, "Of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past," here it is, "that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, the first time I read that, that scared me, Brother Danny. Because he just said, if you do one of these 17 things, you shall not, you will not go to heaven. And that scared me. Because I'm not going to tell you which ones I've done before. But I read through of them, and there's one, two of them that I've done before. 3, 4, 5, 6 maybe. You never know. Y'all worry about yourself. All right? And I thought, now hold on. Does this disqualify me from going to heaven? David was a man who God looked at, the only person in the Bible who said he's a man after my own heart. You know what David did? David committed adultery, fornication, and murder all in 1 week. Now here's a side note there. Let me run a rabbit. We must never say when we look at these sins, "Oh, I'd never do that." Right? We must never say, "I'd never do that." You know why? The same flesh David had is the same flesh we got. Same exact flesh. Samson had a big trouble with women. Go back and read the book of Judges. Nearly every chapter, Samson is dealing with sexual sin in his life. And that's why he lost the blessing of God upon his life. Because he couldn't stop. His flesh took over. What about Solomon? Solomon started out real good. But Solomon got involved with the women and the other gods. Let me ask you this. Do you think you'll see David in heaven one day? There ain't no doubt in my mind you're going to see David in heaven one day. What about Moses? Moses got so ticked off one day that he smacked a rock with his rod. Outburst of anger. You think you're going to see Moses one day in heaven? I guarantee it, because he showed up in Matthew 17. That's a picture of the kingdom of God. So this does not mean when we do such things, if we get drunk, if we commit fornication, if we commit idolatry, that we are disqualified from the kingdom of heaven. And I'm thankful for that. Because there will be no perfect people in heaven save one. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all going to get there. Not because of what we've done, but because of grace. Although we do all of these sins, He saved us by His grace. So what does that mean then in verse 21? That they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It simply means this. People who do that their whole entire life, and that's what their life is characterized by every single day, every single month, every single year, and they ain't nothing ever changed about their life, they ain't Christian. That's all I'm saying, okay? That's all I'm saying. If your life is characterized by those 17 things and it never changes, you never repent, you ain't going to heaven. You're not a Christian if your life is characterized by those things. All right, that's all it means. Verse, let me give you 3, and I'm done. The problem of the flesh, the proof of the flesh, and the power over the flesh. And I'm thankful for that point. We have power over the flesh tonight. You know, every single day we encounter a battle against the flesh. A battle that says when you get frustrated, just go ahead and throw something and get mad. The battle that says when you see something you like on TV or on the internet, go ahead and click on it. Nobody's going to see it. When you see something that tempts your flesh, guess what? We have power over that temptation. We have power over it. Verse 17 makes it sound like we're in a tug-of-war match. Flesh is pulling us this way to do right, to do wrong, and the Spirit is pulling this way to do right. Let me ask you something. It's a very simple question. Which one of these two are stronger, the flesh or the Spirit? The Spirit, obviously. The Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, am I right? That means He is omnipotent. That word means all-powerful. All-powerful. Our flesh is not all-powerful. But the Spirit of God who is lives right here. And you know what that means? He can overcome the flesh. He can. Verse 16, he says, simple. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the answer to how to overcome temptation, overcome the lust of our flesh, walk in the Spirit. Operate in the power of that new man, and that new man is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says if you'll just have faith in Him, you can overcome the lust of the flesh. Very simple. Now, let me say this and I'm done. By the time you walk out of here tonight, you just might walk in the flesh. You just might. Something may get you real mad. What do you do then? When you go ahead and walk in the flesh, and you mess up, and man, you sin against God, what do you do? Let me tell you what to do. Remember God's mercy. That song we sing, His mercy is more. Our sins, they are many, but His mercy is more. That's what the song says. When you walk in the flesh, Brother Johnny, I want you to remember something. There's a God in heaven whose mercy is greater than your sin. Lamentations 3:22. When I woke up the other morning, after acting in the flesh and getting mad, I still felt bad about it. I did. That's me. I don't let it go. When I mess up, I'm on myself for a long time. But that verse in Lamentations 3:22 popped in my mind. And God said, listen, My mercy is new every single morning. That's what it says. I just don't have mercy for tonight. He said, when you wake up in the morning, it's brand new. I'll give you a restart. Isn't that good? Listen to this. Psalm 103, verse number 14. When we walk in the flesh, I need you to remember this verse. Psalm 103, verse 14. For He, God, knows our frame, and He remembereth that we are dust. Do you hear that? It said God knows us. And He remembers the day He made us from a piece of dust. You know what that means? He don't expect you to walk in the Spirit every moment of every day the rest of your life. He expects you and I to mess up. He says He remembers that we're simply dust, Brother Danny. And because of that, He continues to pour out His grace. And what a joy it is tonight that the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. In other words, when you walk in the flesh, you might be convicted, but you shouldn't be condemned over it. That's the devil. The Holy Spirit convicts you. The devil condemns you. And there's a difference. There is no condemnation. When we mess up, that's not God beating you on the back and say, get better. Shouldn't have done that. That's the devil. God always comes to you and say, you know, you messed up. And He points to Christ. He say, but I already took care of it. I already took care of it. When we walk in the flesh, remember this, God knows we're just a piece of dust. Father, we thank You tonight for the Holy Spirit of God who lives on the inside of us, that empowers us over the flesh, that empowers us to live the life that You want us to live. But God, in the same exact way, Your Word tells us that You remember that we're really nothing, that we're dust and we mess up every single day. And God, I'm thankful that You have more patience with me than I have with myself. And I'm thankful You have more patience with others than we have with others. God, thank You for being long-suffering to us. Thank You for being patient and kind. Thank You for always putting up with us, even though we fail every single day. And Lord, we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.